This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
And a good Wednesday evening to you, or Thursday morning, depending on where you're at on the planet. Today is Wednesday, June 13th, 2012. My name is Doug Kelly. Good to have you. And I'm, of course, here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Doug. Good evening, everyone who's listening. It's another happy Wednesday.
Yeah. And tonight we're going to be talking about when to ask for help. It's an interesting concept. A lot of people may not know exactly when to ask for help, and we're going to even get into a little bit of who to ask for help. So we'll get into those. Metaphysical Universe is an educational program of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. Our mission is to explore the human condition, science and spirituality, and be encouraging. Of course, we talk about new things, too, and practical life skills and that sort of thing. Behind the scenes, of course, is Dr. John Hightower screening calls. And so if you'd like to call in and be a part of tonight's show, you're more than welcome to. The numbers on your screen. If you have, if you're listening live, you can also ask questions in the chat room. If you're listening to the archive, we welcome you too. So,
you know, and John has a new job effective today. He's going to be doing all the little postings on the MCHSChurch.org site for any metaphysical news, yeah. Things that go on in science, technology, metaphysics, spirituality. The list is long, so John will be the new attendee, I think. Would that be a correct
term? We'll give him like a manager coordinator, you know, all being God type, you know, person that handles that.
Well, you know, we do try to keep up on things, and that's the whole point, you know. So please, we encourage people to, you know, visit mchschurch.org and join. Please be a member, be a part, support, and but at the very least, you can go on the site and read updates, things that we like to keep tabs on going on everywhere in the universe. Hey, Doug?
Yes, we have our little feelers out everywhere in the universe.
Well, and tonight, you know, tonight's topic, I think, is, to me, it's a big one. And just for our listeners, Doug and I were having a conversation last week, and we said, you know, we got to talk about this because it really started out specific to prayer and people who pray to. And we hear it all the time, say a prayer, or I'm praying to, or, you know, it's that, please come get me, help me, you know, something as though it's something outside ourselves. Now, I happen to believe there's many, many dimensions of beings and energies, entities, and, you know, if I ask for help, I like to believe that they're all on my side and they're going to give me a hand here. But they can't do it for me. I have to do my part. So I think that's a really big distinction that Doug and I were trying to make in this conversation. But I think really it came to the notion of God.
Mm-hmm.
That was the topic, the notion of a God outside the self.
Yeah, we were talking about prayer, and you know, prayer can be many things. It can be a meditation. It can be just a statement of intent. It can be a request for help, which it often is, you know, as a request for help. People pray to God. They pray to God to express gratitude and to ask for favors such as watching over loved ones, themselves, helping them with the situation. You know, as the saying goes, there's no atheist in a foxhole. And the only reason that may be true is because I've never been in a foxhole. Of course, I'm not necessarily an atheist. I'm agnostic. But, you know, the point of MCHS Church is that we don't really recognize any God beings or any kind of, honestly, man-made God concepts like that. You know, we recognize divine energy in all living things, and it's obviously MCHS Church, by its very name, is human-centered. It's a human-centered philosophy, so we don't do the God thing. And we were talking, Vicki and I were talking last week about this prayer and the word and how it's so easy to confuse. And so I personally don't use it much because I don't want to be confusing. I don't want to, you know, say, well, say a prayer. Well, who do you pray to? You know, a prayer usually is something that's stated to someone, and usually it's God or the All Being or the Almighty or whoever. And so I don't even use it in as a synonym for meditation. It's either meditation or it's whatever, sending out positive energy, that kind of thing. So we were talking about that and talking about how so many people turn to God, or they say a prayer, they are beseeching, imploring the God concept for help. So that led to this, you know, not only when to ask for help, but who to ask for help. And so obviously MCHS Church does not advocate asking God for help. In fact, you can ask God for help all you want. Let me know how that works out for you.
Or you could just call Doug.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, of course, we all know that Doug spelled backwards is God, so.
That's right. That's right. Call him good. Hey, yeah. Dude. You know, I think that just to make a clarification, when we say a prayer, quote, unquote, it's a projection. It's a projection of thought. Thought is energy. And when we focus that energy, you know, it, of course, moves energy. You get a whole bunch of people, you know, together. It's like it empowers that energy. And I believe that it's connecting into places in the universe we couldn't have imagined, because we don't know. But it's a belief nonetheless. Some people would say that, oh, there's no such thing as, you know, a projection of thought. You know, and that's okay if somebody wants to believe that. But when anybody's down out, when anybody is in trouble, their back's against a wall, they reach out. They reach out beyond self to help the self. So here's the interesting twist for me. When you do ask for help, in whatever context it is, you are helping yourself. And there is a time and place for that. I mean, I think everybody's had that, you know, moment. Well, certainly I could look to it. You know, I just look in the sky and say, oh, come on. If there's anybody up there, you just got to come help me, because it's too big for me. You know, so it's like, for me, it's if there is. But it's not in the notion of God. It's the notion of whatever worlds within worlds are there that I'm tied into, let's just magnify this and get the show on the road. It's kind of the thing. But more importantly, when do we ask each other for help? Because that really, in the human condition, Doug, you and I both know, we're in the business of helping people. But we're human too. We need help sometimes. But when is that a good thing? When is it a healthy thing? What are our boundaries? And it's a huge discussion to stay healthy within the self as the objective. But if it's a hard one to touch this with sometimes when you feel like, no, it's crap. You know, some days are just crap. Mm. So.
And some days are awesome.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. But nobody asks for help when they're awesome. Well, unless you're moving, and I need help moving. So I feel awesome, but I need a whole bunch of strong guys for my piano. You know, I mean, there's that too. So these are the kinds of things we want to talk about tonight. If anybody has any questions, you know, anybody's, oh, I don't know, you got an issue with the friendship, a relationship, you know, yeah. What are the boundaries? What are those things? Then please write them in the chat room or give John a call, and we'll keep discussing this. I think where is a really good place to start, Doug, is in the Life Leadership Paragon, because it's brilliant.
I agree. And what we're going to do real quick is, Vicki, I'm going to call you right back because you're breaking up a little bit, and I just see if we can get a better connection here.
Okay.
So I'm going to call
all
you
right
back. All right. So we'll get Vicki on, and while she's gone, we'll talk about her behind her back. No, not really. All we can say is good things.
I here?
Yeah, I think you're here. Did you hear any of that?
No.
Oh, you should have heard what people were saying while you were gone.
I know. It usually happens that way. They talk behind my back.
All right. So We're going to talk about the life leadership paragon and as it relates to who, you know, when to ask for help. And it, just as a refresher, the life leadership paragon is made up of three skills which create a fourth. Those three skills are self-acceptance, self-responsibility, respect for free will, and of course these synergistically create self-completeness. So when we're thinking about we need help. How would you say, Vicki, that self-acceptance applies here or connects
well,
to this concept?
If it's something that I can do for myself, you know, am I bailing in this moment? Am I just, you know, having a bad day and I don't want to do it? Am I deferring my responsibilities? I think that's a really big one for a lot of people. I see this in relationships, Doug, more than anything. It's, oh, it's his job. Oh, that's her job. People are constantly deferring. So self-acceptance is stepping up to the plate and contributing. It's like, what do we bring to the table? It's contributing. Yeah, you're having a lazy moment. That's fine. But not when you become dependent on somebody being the other half of yourself. And I think that that's a real big one.
And that's really more in the area of self-responsibility, which is all valid. In fact, self-responsibility really comes into play on this whole matter. And let me just comment on self-acceptance. First of all, if you accept yourself, you know that you can do anything you set your mind to. You can find a way. You can use the terminology, how hard can it be? You make things happen. You don't, and we're now again getting back into self-responsibility, but you don't unnecessarily rely on others to do your stuff. We'll talk about that in a minute. But from the self-acceptance part of it, just understand that you're enough. You have everything within you that you need. You have the abilities to go and seek answers, do research, problem solve using the 180 principle, think contrarian. You know, all those problem-solving things we've talked about in previous shows, you know, what would be the wrong thing to do to solve this? What would be the stupidest thing to do? What would be, you know, think outside the box, that kind of thing. So that's kind of the self-acceptance. You have to first understand you can do this. You know, whatever it happens to be, usually when we need help, you know, there's a problem perhaps or just a challenge. So know that you can do it. Now the self-responsibility part, as Vicki was pointing out, is really big in this area. And there are three universal laws of personal responsibility I want to touch on. The first one is that each one of us is responsible for where we're at, past, present, future. You know, we're all responsible for the choices we make. The choices we make are what led us to here. It's why we're here. And so, you know, we have to take responsibility for those choices. That's the first law. The second one is don't expect other people to do for us what we could and should do for ourselves. And the third one is don't do for other people the things they could and should do for themselves. So now, within the context of when to ask for help,
I had a great old teacher that said to me, you don't ask a stranger on the street to help you move. You know, it's, well, maybe you do, but, you know, hitching a ride in the road, maybe. But generally, we do come to take it for granted that we are a collective of people who are very interactive, and we depend on each other for that. We are autonomous in ourselves, but we are interdependent. You know, without the corner grocer, without, you know, the butcher, without, you know, somebody who grows the grain, we are a collective, a synergistic collective of people. And there are times when we do need to reach out. You know, there's maybe some things I'm just not good at. My body just can't do it anymore. I am self-accepting. Mm-hmm. And I am self-responsibility, but I can't lift that piano, Doug.
Right.
You know? So I think that there's a sensible way to start to gauge or grow a gauge that says, I need help.
Mm-hmm.
I need a hand with this. This is not something, I'm not a good mechanic and I can't fix that. You know, there's, mm-hmm. and that's how I think we learn that we're interdependent, but we're still self-accepting, self-responsible, and respect that everybody's got free will, because if I wanted to be a mechanic, I would have been a mechanic.
Well, it goes back to that second universal law. Don't expect other people to do for you things which you could and should do for yourself. And the real key to that law is could and should. Sometimes we could do it and should do it, but we can't do it for whatever reason. Or we should do it, but we can't do it. Sometimes we could do it, but we shouldn't do it. So those two clauses have to both be in there. And talking about moving a piano, for the first time in my life, I just moved a month ago, and I'm used to being able to do just about everything, you know, loading things and all that stuff. Well, before we even moved, I was moving a couple of small things on my trailer, and I pulled my right bicep, and I mean, it was gone. And, you know, I couldn't really use it much. It was painful, and it still hurts to this day. I mean, a month later, still trying to heal, but I had to scramble to find alternative solutions. We were going to have some guys come and help us the next day to move and all that, some local folks. And so I called them and was able to get them there the day earlier, and because we had to move some stuff that day. So it all worked out. But the thing that probably has been the most pronounced for me is having to rely on our boys, our grown boys, to come and help out with a few things, which I have always been accustomed to doing. But I couldn't because my arm was pulled, and, gee, I got a little arthritis in my knees, and just couldn't do it.
You're getting old, Doug.
I know it. Tell me about it.
Hey, I hear you loud and clear. These are moments when that's a legitimate thing. And I think for just one moment, we check in with our pride. Our
mm-hmm.
ego,
mm-hmm.
you know, ego's in there. And then it's like you have to deal with all this emotion in yourself to say, oh, why can't I do that? You know, 5 years ago, I could have mm-hmm. pounded posts in and built a fence. And 2 years ago, I went to build a fence, and I put in three posts with myself and a sledgehammer, and I went, oh, I can't do this anymore,
mm-hmm.
you know? And it's... And again, I am the one way of I do most everything for myself. So that's where I think pride comes in, where I have to suck it up and say, oh.
Yeah, but you know, it was easy in this case. I mean, I've always done that sort of thing. It's just been who I am, what I do. How hard can it be? I make it happen. But in this case, it was a great experience, I guess, for me, because I recognize I can't do it. And even though I tried and I kept hurting my arm, I can't do it. And so it was okay. In my mind, it was okay. I asked the boys. They were great. They came. They helped. They helped us do a few things. And that was fine. And I felt at peace with asking for that help. And it's just a different transition. So
yeah, yeah.
So when just to sum up this little section here that we've been talking about, you know, when to ask for help. You know, if you can't do it, even though you may have done it in the past, if you can no longer do it, then it's fine. And let me just contrast this with codependence. Codependent people are some of the strongest people there are. They are so used to shouldering the problems of the world that, you know, they do everything. They fix it. They're strong people. And they are often willing to go out of their way to do things. And so, obviously, codependence is not, it's not a healthy thing to have. You know, and simply the definition of codependence is doing things for other people that they could and should do for themselves. And so we have to be careful of that. The codependent person, very strong, and does not usually ask for help because they are so used to doing it all.
Well, that would be me.
Well, it depends, though. See, it depends. There has to be a healthy balance. Just because you are used to doing everything yourself, you know, you have to ask, am I doing everything for everybody? Because that's what codependent people do.
There's an important distinction right there.
Yeah, because I mean, I do a lot of stuff. I mean, gee, I do a ton of stuff. People would be shocked if they knew all the stuff I did. I mean, the whole school, the church site, the school site, the courses, or most of the courses, you know, the prospectus, the handbook. I mean, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. And that's the way I like it. I'm used to it. I enjoy it. I do it. I make it happen. But I don't necessarily do that for other people who could and should be doing that for themselves. And people have asked. I don't have that kind of time, and it's not my job. I will help. I will assist. I will give them advice. I will give them some tips, but I also expect them to figure it out, just like I did. I mean, I didn't go to any school and get all these secrets, you know, the secrets of all of this stuff. It took zillions of hours and effort and research and time. And so I'll help, but they have to demonstrate that they're going to do this for themselves. So that's the important distinction. So you got to,
which is different from interdependent.
Right. That's what I'm advocating here, is an interdependent thing. If you have a question, fine, ask it. But, and I've had people who keep asking me, I will set, you know, help them get started, and then it's one question after another, after another, after another. And, you know, human nature is the path of least resistance, and that's me in this case. And I tell them, you got to go look it up. I would love to help, but I just don't have the time to go into every little thing. You got to go do your research. It's how I learned it. So go do it. Go put your time in. Go do it. And I won't help them. I tell them, finally, look, what I want you to do is I want you to figure it out. And if you absolutely cannot, then come to me. But you have got to try, honestly, to figure this out yourself. Then, if you can't, I'll help. And
you know, that takes us to the flip side of the coin, Doug, where, you know, you need a friend, or you think you have a friend, and everybody disappears.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, you're moving a piano? Jeez, I'm away that week. I'm really sorry.
You're moving, I'm gone.
You know, and this is where I think it's important to check in with people. People to check in with themselves. You may be their friend, but are they your friend? So it really is a measure of our dynamic and a measure of our how we behave with one another. Like, who can I ask for help? You know, I mean, that's a really big thing. I think I have friends, but who of my friends can I ask for help? And if people are constantly or repeatedly not there, then they're really not my friend. I'm their friend, but they're not my friend. And I think that this is where it goes back to, oh, I've been codependent perhaps because I thought I was their friend. I was doing for them. I've given to them. And I don't get anything back. Well, I was dependent on how I felt by giving, but there isn't an interaction, an exchange, and a healthy interdependence. Mm-hmm. This is a very tough one to learn, particularly in family dynamics. A lot of families really struggle with this one.
Well, and it's fine for give and take. That's what an interdependent relationship is. But if it's lopsided, we got a problem. It's not healthy, lopsided relationships. And it goes back to the two most important relationship questions. The first one is, what do I bring to the table? What do I add? What do I subtract from this relationship? The second of the two is, what does the other person bring to the table? What do they add? What do they subtract? And any time somebody takes more from a relationship than they give and they're unwilling to change, the relationship is over. And I don't care who it's with, period. I don't care who it's with. It can be a sibling, a mother, a father, a child. I don't care who it's with. Because if you get involved in unhealthy relationships, they become toxic and nobody's happy. And so you have to have these interdependent relationships, which is give and take, you know, and it's a healthy give and take, and it can't be lopsided.
Which is when, again, when do you ask for help? It's more about, equally, I think, to who you ask for help, and what do you entrust with people in asking for help? And the list goes on and on and on about certain criteria. You know, one of the other big things I think people have trouble with is the inconsistency. You might have a friend that you laugh with, the friend you cry with, the one you complain to. And it's about being consistent within the self, that everybody gets a little taste of you if you're really offering yourself up as a friend. So it's to be real with people. So that's back to the self-acceptance. Mm-hmm. Who am I? That doesn't mean the banker's going to know you have a dog, because they don't care. But it's like, who are you? What's your presentation of yourself? Are you being consistent? Are you being real? So that when you do ask for help, it's legitimate. And if the people are close to you, they're going to, even if they can't, they're going to do their best to step up to try and find you help. And it goes, again, the other way. If somebody asks me for help, I'm there. I am right there. In the event, it's like, oh, geez, didn't we do this last week?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the point.
Yeah.
And so let's summarize this. You know, let's answer the question directly and straightforwardly. When do you ask for help? The answer is quite simple. When you can't do it for yourself. And you think about that second universal law of personal responsibility. Do the things that you could and should do for yourself. Do them yourself. So can you do it? Then do it. Should you do it? Then do it. Now, if you can't do it and you need help, that's fine. Ask for help. And we'll get into a little bit later. I still want to talk more about who to ask for help with and that sort of thing, but or help from. But that's when you ask for help. And don't let your pride, as Vicki said earlier, don't let your pride get in the way. If you're accustomed to doing a lot of different things and you can no longer do them, or in this particular instance you can't do them, then ask for help. And when somebody else comes to you and does the same, reciprocate. You know, again, that interdependent relationship, that give and take in a healthy way. That's the answer to it.
It's really a huge topic, and it can extend, if we stop and think about it, it can extend into so many areas of our lives. When am I asking for help? How am I asking for help? Who am I asking help from? Is that repeated? And it's just little questions for people to check in with themselves. I came from, you know, the other end of things where I was always doing it for myself. I had something to prove. I was an angry kid. I own it, you know, and I don't want to be under a microscope. I don't want anybody to look at me. I have to be able to do it myself. And I'll tell you, I had to suck it up a lot of times, and that was my pride. And I did have to learn. And again, I'm talking back in my, you know, early 30s, and as I was growing, it's, geez, I'm not in this by myself. And I do have to be interdependent with the world. And it's... Then there's the other side of things, which has always been truly kind of, I don't know, even know the word to describe how I observe it, but people who cannot seem to be helpless. And it's this helplessness of, I need help. And really, I think that that's a cry for attention. I don't like to be alone. I like to share things. I believe, you know, so it goes the other way. So ask yourself what kind of category you might fall into, and you know, step up the game just a little bit, you know, just step it up, check in, and just self-assessment, because we all have that wonderful capability of self-analysis, self-study. So,
and when you do ask for help, you know, be careful about imposing or asking for too much. I mean, there are times when we can just ask too much of someone. And in those cases, it, you know, there's no hard and fast rules, but just be aware of that. Be careful not to impose. And if you find yourself in a situation where you need a lot of help for different things, then get creative and ask different people, hire it done if possible, so that you're not an imposition to any one person. And above all, don't forget to thank whoever. And here's another rule of thumb. Never thank them once. Thank them at least twice. At least twice.
And bake cookies.
Yeah. Or something like that. You know, do a nice like that. But always thank them at least twice in separate instances. And really show your appreciation, because that makes them feel good too. And it shows them that you're courteous. You're
grateful.
Yeah, you're grateful, but you're also considerate of their time and whatever they're going through too.
You know, Philip has just made a comment in the chat. When you constantly ask for help, you denied yourself help when you absolutely need. So I think there's a couple of things that Philip's saying in there. One of the, in the Life Leadership Paragon, one of the things is don't do for others what they ought to do for themselves. It's a tricky one that we must allow other people the opportunity to learn and grow.
Mm-hmm.
And at the very least, somebody's not accustomed to doing something, then maybe we can help them so they can see how they can do it. You know, that's a whole point of encouragement. That's a whole point of support and cheerleading for each other. Yes,
mm-hmm.
you can do it. And so it's not a matter of doing for someone else, but you can do with them because
mm-hmm.
everyone deserves the right to give it a shot. You know, I was thinking today about the show tonight, and I was thinking about this. I was out with some friends just, maybe 10 years ago, and I was swinging on this big swing, and it's like, they said, jump off. I said, I can't do that. It's scary up here. Somebody looked at me and said, you took martial arts training, nearly got to black belt, and you're afraid of jumping off a darn swing.
A darn what? you dropped out there.
They said, what, you're afraid of jumping off a swing? You were nearly a black belt in martial arts.
Mm-hmm.
And it occurred to me, yes, I can. Yes, I can. Yes, I can. And sometimes it's just that little bit of encouragement or the reminder that we each need. Yes, we can, but we can support to help each other.
Yep, and that's a good point, too. And you know, and Philip does make a good point. When we don't do it for ourselves, we do miss out on learning opportunities. And I was alluding to that earlier when I was talking about those who ask for help, ask one question after another without looking it up. And so that's always another great rule of thumb. You know, if you have a question about something and it's not urgent, you know, it's not an emergency or anything like that, try looking it up. Do the research. Find the answer yourself. You can go online and find a lot of stuff. If you still need it definitive and it's an important thing, then call an expert and ask. You know, it just depends on the context of things. But always try to figure it out. Look it up. Do the work yourself. You know, don't be somebody who imposes on other people constantly for different things. This also gets into respect for free will, because when we are courteous in asking for help, we are respecting other people, their time, perhaps their resources, and so we're respecting their free will, but we're also respecting our own, because we're only taking advantage of that when we need to. And this all, of course, creates self-completeness, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, respect for free will, and that helps us to be complete within ourselves. And that kind of leads us into really what the church teaches, is to be your own guru, to be your own counselor, to look within for the answers, because that's where the answers are. Does that mean you can't ask questions to help you figure it all out? No, it doesn't mean that. But in the end, we all need to be our own counselor, our own guru. We need to figure it out, because every one of our paths is a little bit different, and the same answer won't be necessarily relevant for every person. So we have to figure out what's relevant for us, what's meaningful for us. And that's why it's so important not to throw your, not to really throw your devotion to another person or another entity, including God. You're enough. You have it within. Look within. Draw on that. Put an order in with your subconscious or your unconscious mind. That's just a hypnosis trick. You know, if you want something, you want an answer to something, put an order in. And just like that, I'd like to place an order for this answer, please. And then you allow your mind to slowly simmer on it, and a lot of times the answer will come to you within a few days or a day or a few hours or a few days, whatever. Just another little tip.
You know, I say the same thing. You call it the unconscious, which is absolutely the unconscious mind. Could be the superconscious.
Mm-hmm,
I always say, you know, I go to bed at night and say, spirits, I need an answer. You know, so I don't care where it comes from. It could be, but the thing is, to be open-minded enough, I have to do this with myself, to be open-minded enough to say, maybe a spirit gave me that answer. Maybe it was my unconscious. Maybe I tapped into something in the universe. In the end result, it didn't matter. I got an answer.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the whole point about being your own guru, and I think if I can paraphrase this, Doug, simply the principles of the church is to encourage self-thinking,
mm-hmm.
self-awareness, self-deciding.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. That's all. Make your own decision. Go on a hunt and find mission. Find all the information you need. Make your own decision. Here's an interesting thing that very often happens with people. They're so accustomed to the emotional high of asking for a lot of information. They inevitably did what they were going to do in the first place, but they just like to gab on the phone for 6 hours. You know, I mean, I see it. I hear about it. And I say, what? That was like, geez, wasn't there a TV show you would have rather watched? You know, but it's. I think we have to then look at how much time we do give, because sometimes, you know, we have to make decisions in a moment, and we have to start getting quicker on our feet. But the more you know yourself, the more you know what kind of decision you'll make. And it's that simple. Know yourself. Know that the answers that you need are inside you. And if there is more information, you say, okay, I'm deciding to not do anything right now. That's a decision until I have more information. It just means that it really, really wasn't time. So, you know, it's try to stay as balanced within the self, as attuned to the self as possible. And that is essentially being your own guru.
Mm-hmm. Seeking your own advice. Again, this does not mean that you cannot ask advice from others. What did you do in this? But ultimately, you need to make your own decision. You don't do it because somebody else did it. You did it because it's what's best for you in your life, on your path. And that means that you can pray to God all day, and the silence will be deafening, and people will, especially the true believers, will go way out on a limb, and they will start looking for signs and just signs in everything. In every a coincidence could be a sign from God. This is the direction to go. It could be synchronicity, but that synchronicity could simply be coming from the universal consciousness, the Akashic record. It could be coming from just the universe answering your question. You know, you're, and that when I say the universe answering your question, it's really a product of your deliberate intent. You're putting it out there, and consciousness is revealing it to you, specifically yours, just on an unconscious level, but it's then coming into your conscious mind. So you need to look within. That's the whole point, and recognize that you're perfect just the way you are, but you're getting better every day. And you show responsibility, you express free will, and that free will comes into play when you choose yourself. You make your own decisions. And if you don't want to make a choice, that's fine. A choice will be made for you by default, or a choice will be made for you by other people. And if you don't want others to be making your choices for you, then you need to be making these deliberate choices. And if you don't make a choice, the universe has this way of coming back and stinging you. It'll make a choice for you. If it goes long enough and you just don't act on something, it's going to come back and bite you. It'll make that decision for you, or it will put you in an even deeper circumstance that now it's even worse than it was before. Now you got to really figure it out. So make your decisions. Use your free will. Become complete within yourself, not, quote, needing, unquote, anyone else for your happiness, for your validation, for your own self. Be you. Be your own person. Know who you are and why you are who you are, and this will help you to be self-complete, self-actualized.
You know, one of the big questions, we're back to a very old topic, we've talked about it many times, about perfection and how each of us is born perfectly for this lifetime. For my design, I am born perfectly. And, you know, I can rationalize that into saying this is my karma, this is the life lesson. I can twist it any way I want to. The bottom line is I was born perfectly. Now, in being born perfectly for me, I didn't come with a capability to, you know, learn 10 languages in this lifetime. But if I need somebody to translate French, I pick up the phone, you know. And if I'm not good at, let's say, reading big long science texts or remembering pi r squared, well, I pick up the phone, you know. And this is actually the fun part. If we can be lighthearted about who we are in the ways that we are not, that others may be better. It's not better, it's just different.
Gifted.
And we just can be interactive that way. And it's what we were talking about earlier, that it's not just about, you know, whether or not I can, you know, replace the motor on my vehicle and have the skills for that. It's about how I think and how I process. You know, I may not be good at something, I don't think that way, or it's okay that I think the way I do. I'm dyslexic, at least borderline dyslexic. I have to repeat numbers back to people to make sure I write them down properly. That's not a big deal. I don't call it a disability. It's actually the way I, you know, express my ability. But if something has to go really fast, I know that if I don't have enough sleep, I better defer it to Doug. You know, and that's okay too. So it's how we become interdependent with our own abilities, our own skills, our own insights, and the way we process information. And, you know, I think if I can just throw this in, students of the Metaphysics Institute who may be struggling through reading and studying, it's a different approach, and it challenges the self to see things from a different angle, which is the whole point of extending into critical thinking and how else can I see it, you know, because we want to be able to be versatile but not losing who we are. So it's a challenge, you know, it's like a challenge to learn how to read that and answer it and study it and go over it. I'm the first one to say, Doug, I just assume you tell me what it says, because reading is really hard work for me. So, but, you know, okay, the reading's hard work for me, I have to challenge myself. And this is what's really part of it, again, is to challenge yourself to extend beyond, but don't be upset with yourself because you're not a particular way. It doesn't matter. You are who you are because that's the way it was built.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Phil makes another point here that's actually apropos. It does appear, he says, it does appear that some people would ask for help as a way of seeking companionship. I had a friend who used to ask things, but when I would tell him what he was asking, he usually would say, that's what I was thinking. In this respect, I wonder whether some people ask to test people whether they can lend hands or not. So there are those people who are lonely, I guess, and they will ask questions. They'll try to get people involved as a way of making friends, or at least having some companionship.
It sounds like a little one-upmanship, too. It's like, I really need the answer to this question, but I really knew it already. I was just testing you. You know, that's a little pride. And I think sometimes, you know, it's like, we live in a very competitive world, Doug. And I think that we've talked about this in previous shows, that inferiority complex, where we don't want to be inferior. We want to show that we can compete. We are good enough. Mm-hmm. We can do it. And so it affects us in our dynamic in ways that are really, really very interesting in the study. And the behaviors usually are unconscious. But that's what we're talking about, is to be conscious, to be self-aware, self-conscious.
Yeah, that's the point of all of it. It's the, you know, becoming more self-aware, more aware of those around you, is really the whole point behind this educational program, this radio program. It's the point behind the school. It's the point behind everything, raising awareness, raising our own awareness of life, practical life skills, relationship skills. It's all about raising awareness. It all boils down to that. And that's what this is designed to do. So if you're in a tough spot and you need to ask for help, then go for it. Just be mindful, conscientious, that you're not overdoing it or imposing. But by the same token, don't let your pride hold you back. If you need help and you just can't do it yourself, then ask. And ask the right person, whoever can help you. And if you need to ask several, that's fine. just be conscientious about it. Be sure to thank them more than once. And to the extent possible, make things happen yourself. So, that's really the bottom line to everything that we've been talking about.
You know, next week we are going to be doing our rite of cynosure.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a way that we honor life, we respect life, we synergistically come together to note a particular moment in time. And some people could call that a prayer. Some people could say that's reaching out and asking for help. I see it more as a collective, a meditative moment where we can all bring it together and have our energy interdependent that magnifies something. It magnifies a goodness. It magnifies an energy. And so having said that, I hope everyone who's listening today and others will join in, you know, for our ceremony next week. This will be our third one,
mm-hmm.
I believe. And
no, this is the fourth one. We did the last fall. We did the winter solstice. We did the spring
Easter.
Equinox. And now we're doing the summer. So this is the first summer. This will be the complete the 1 year. And,
we've done a whole cycle. That's great.
Yeah, it is. And this is a time for remembrance. It's a time for checking in with yourself. Where are you today? And how are you different today than you were 1 year ago? How have you changed? What progress have you made? Those kinds of things. That's what this ceremony is about. It's not a foo-foo thing. It's just a time to sit back and remember what you're doing, who you are, what your mission is, what your purpose is, what you're here for, what you're trying to accomplish, what your goals are, where you want to be in a year or 2 years or 5 years or 10. It's that kind of a thing. So we hope that you'll join us next week, grab a candle, get in on the ceremony of it, and we'll, of course, discuss what it all means.
The fire of life.
Mm-hmm.
Fire of life. I love that. It's
a cool ceremony. I mean, it's good. There's a lot of meat in it if you listen to it and really pay attention to it. It's about honoring who we are as people. It's about honoring the human condition. It's about understanding that, you know, when you strip it all away, what do we have left? We have us. We just have us. So we stop the petty fighting, we stop the petty bickering, we stop the competitiveness, we stop with the need to always be right, we understand that we are perfect just the way we are, that we don't have to prove our perfection to other people, that we're all people here, we're all trying to figure it out, we're all those kids, you know, just trying to make sense of, I can't say what I thinking, but you know, make sense of this whole thing, and that's what it's all about. You know, can't we all just get along here?
Well, you know, here's how I define sympathy, empathy, and compassion, and I think it's appropriate here when I get to my point. Sympathy is kind of inert; it doesn't know what to do. Empathy, although we really are lacking a lot of empathy too. You know, at least try to understand each other. But empathy can very often assume that if I feel this way, you must also too. So we have to be careful with empathy. Compassion, on the other hand, says, observe it, and how can I help?
Mm-hmm.
You know, can I help? And offering ourselves to other people without infringing on their right to do for themselves, without, you know, assuming what people need, and it offers a respect for somebody just to say, you know, let me think about that, and then making ourselves available because we have offered. You know, and this is where I think that ceremonies like the solstice that we have coming up next week, our rite of cynosure, reminds us of that we are in this together, and what we bring to the table, what we offer, and how we can collectively begin to solve our problems by just bringing what we have in a good way, not our egos, not our pride, not our differences, but how we are all alike. We're all human beings on the planet, all trying to figure out the same things. But this is what I have. That's what you have. This is what you have. And we all want the same thing. We all do. We all want food, shelter. We want to get along. Sometimes we want beyond what we should have, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't need the whole lottery. I just need part of it, you know. But, you know, that is our thing about compassion and having a sensitivity toward one another as human beings. So need help? Ask for it. That's how I say.
Yeah. You know, try to do it yourself. If you can't, go ahead and ask for it. And join us next week for our summer solstice ceremony. And we really appreciate you tuning in tonight. Please let other people know about the program. If you find it of value, if you have a topic you'd like to hear, then let us know. You know, we're here to help, so appreciate your time.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks.
Good night.
Thanks to John Hightower, too, for being there behind the scenes. Can't let leave him out. So, all right, guys, have a great week. See you next week. Good night.